delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
Apparently a couple of callers think I'm wound up. You haven't heard anything yet. I'm not even into my second cup of coffee. Wait till I get fired up. All right. It's 45 past. As we were talking about U.S. District Judge William Orrick issuing a temporary ruling yesterday in a lawsuit over the executive order targeting so-called sanctuary cities, the decision will stay in place while the lawsuit moves through the courts. Not a surprise. Anything that's in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals jurisdiction is going to, this is what's going to happen. The lawlessness will continue. Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, joining me now to discuss this in further detail. Hans, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
Here it is. It seems that if anything happens in California, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Hawaii, it doesn't matter. One judge steps up and decades of precedent are tossed out the window. This is lawlessness being put forth, in my estimation, by judges with an agenda. Yes or no?
Oh, no, I think you're absolutely right about this. And it's just another Obama appointee doing exactly that.
Yeah. So here's the question, though. Because of what Harry Reid did with the nuclear option, Barack Obama stacked the federal courts with judges with agendas that have this need to follow this theology of liberalism. They don't care about precedent. I mean, can you imagine in 1977, if Wyoming said, no, we're not going to lower our speed limit to 55, they fought the federal government to the end. The federal government pulled money, forced them to do it. If states in the South said, you know what, we're not going to enforce federal human rights laws and regulations. We're just going to skip. Can you imagine? So why do they think it's okay just to pick and choose which federal laws they want to follow, first of all, in sanctuary cities? And how can a judge say that that's okay?
Well, because, look, these are activist judges reared in the progressive movement. And they don't really care about the Constitution. They don't care about the law. The only thing they believe is using their judicial power to achieve the socially progressive objectives that they believe in. I mean, that's exactly what's happening.
Don't they realize that at some point they pay that price, too? If you continue to whittle back at people's rights, at some point that gets to their doorstep. Are they not cognizant of those facts?
I don't think they care about that. The only thing that's important to them is achieving the end, and they don't care what means they use to get there. And they assume that they will remain in power, and so other people won't be able to do the same thing.
Fact of the matter is, though, Donald Trump came in. There were 130 federal judge positions open. More, of course, will happen during the next 3.5 years. He has a chance to reshape this court in a dramatic fashion, and be well beyond Neil Gorsuch, because there's a lot of rumor now that another Supreme Court seat may become available this summer. If that happens, then these things will get appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's likely they will get rejected soundly. And here, let me ask you this, Hans. Do you think people like Ruth Bader Ginsburg are going to side with these radical judges, or are they going to say, listen, this doesn't, I mean, because I hear from a lot of people on the left that are, you know, in the law, they say, this isn't legal. They can't do that. So no matter how radical these judges are, some of the more traditional justices, even liberals on the Supreme Court, might not sign on for this.
Well, I know there's speculation about that. But I don't trust any of the liberal justices. All you have to do is look at the series of 5-4 decisions in which the four liberal justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg, have ruled against things like the Second Amendment, you know, a clear constitutional right, and yet they would like to write it out of the Bill of Rights. So I just don't trust them to actually do the right thing.
So where do we go from here, then? You've got a situation, and it's resolved some if people can get these cases in front of the Supreme Court in a timely fashion, you know, file an emergency order or request, I should say. Because with Neil Gorsuch there, you would expect maybe that the court would have some reasonableness about it and overturn these activist judges. But where do we go from here?
There are two things that need to happen. One, exactly what you said, which is the federal government needs to do emergency appeals, get it to the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit will rule against them. Get it to the Supreme Court so that hopefully with Gorsuch on the court, the Supreme Court will step in and basically squash all these liberal judges and their decisions all over the country. The second thing that needs to happen is the Trump White House needs to basically flood the zone. They need to find the 130 appointees and shove them out of the shove their nominations out of the White House over to the Senate Judiciary Committee so that we can start filling these open slots all over the country.
Have any of them been filled? You know, it's not exactly been front page news as to whether or not federal judgeships are being filled. What do you know?
The first other court judgeship is an appeals court slot. I think there's actually a hearing going on today over it, and I'm hearing that right now they're doing background investigations at the White House on a whole group of more nominees that we will get hopefully very soon.
Do you think that some of the folks that were, you know, listed, the people that were listed on Donald Trump's list of 21, that judges similar to those will be the ones he'll be looking for, at, you know, in lower courts to move them to the federal level?
I certainly hope so. And I know some of the people inside the White House and the White House counsel's office that are working on this. And many of them are principled conservatives. And I know that those are the kind of folks they want to find.
Meanwhile, let me ask you this while I've got you 30 seconds to go here, Hans. Give me your impression of the first 100 days thus far. We're about 97 days in, I suppose. I think 100 days comes Saturday. Your impression? I'm impressed that he's still standing, but what is your impression?
Oh, look, he's gotten a lot done. I mean, just look at what he's been able to do in the immigration area. Just the fact that he lifted the handcuffs from our Border Patrol and DHS agents, and that they have actually started enforcing the law, we've already seen what a huge difference it has made. The number of illegal crossers coming across the border has dropped dramatically.
Yeah,
and that's
dramatically
part of the deterrent effect of what he's been doing.
Hans von Spakovsky, always a pleasure, from the Heritage Foundation. Good conversation, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Great, thanks.
Hans, everybody, 52 after, check on sports right after this.